Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Are you hungry for adventure?
Do you crave hilarious and perilous tabletop campaigns?
Don't bother rolling perception, pal. We've got you covered.
Behold, Dungeons and Doritos, Nerdy Show's epic tabletop audio drama, a cinematic serial of mayhem-filled, morally questionable quests at dungeonsanddoritos.com.
The following program is presented by The Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode, I have no idea,
Jonathan. 153.
Okay, because now that Greg is cute. So I am the hard man with harder opinions, Andrew, and the reason why I'm doing the introduction is because Jonathan is not here, which is why I have no idea what episode number it is, and that's why it's great that Greg is here. It's Security Guy Greg.
Security Guy Greg. Hola! I don't know why I said myself in third person, but that's okay.
Yeah, but he knows the numbers too, because he's the one who edits our episodes. And, of course, we have our King Baby Duck, Evan.
Hey. That, Andrew will get that.
Yes, that is a reference to what we will be talking about later on, because Evan and I had the privilege of seeing an early preview of a very special movie that is going to be absolutely amazing when it finally gets released to full nationwide cinemas.
Yes.
So, but that is coming up in what we're watching. First, we are going to start off by ringing the news bell.
Ding.
Ding, and I don't have it with me, so... I don't have it with me, so...
And Whistlecoon is in my drawer, but I'm so comfortable on my bed as I'm recording this that I just don't want to get up.
Yes. So, I know, I'm actually, like, in my house, and the bell is in my room across the way, and it's just like, ah...
I could go fetch the bell if you'd like.
No, we don't need it.
Okay.
We're good. Evan, what do we got for news?
Well, how about this? The news of the live-action Cowboy Bebop is getting a little bit heavy as it has been announced that it's coming to Netflix.
Ooh.
Yes, this is true, but I assume that there is no Keanu Reeves in sight for this, right?
he could still come on as like an executive producer.
It's true, but he's not Spike Spiegel. Like, if he were to be playing Spike Spiegel, this thing would be amazing.
I mean, hypothetical. Look, if he's on board with doing Bill and Ted 3, he'll probably be on board. If it's offered to him, he will say yes to doing Spike Spiegel.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think... Well, isn't John Wick 3 filming right now? Or is it already filmed?
It has wrapped up filming, because it's coming out, I think, in June of next year.
Okay, so John Wick's done, so he can do that. His role in Toy Story 4 is also done. As far as
probably got done 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And then
this is actually news to me. Did you say Keanu Reeves is doing Toy Story
4? Yeah, Keanu Reeves is in Toy Story 4.
Do we know what
character? Yeah, it's going to be totally dark, man. Like, no. He's playing a John Wick action figure.
So if you actually go onto the IMDb, yep. The character that his character name is not listed. It just says voice.
That's amazing. I can't wait.
I can't either. Like, I was kind of lukewarm about a Toy Story 4 coming out. Which is kind of news in itself, but then I was like, oh, Keanu Reeves is casted in it. This is going to be amazing.
I thought they wrapped it up though with Toy Story 3, and they made that pretty clear.
Yeah,
Yeah, they did. But then it's like, look at all this money we've made us. Yeah, and look at all the awards. Let's keep that milking cow.
So apparently there was an interview with Tim Allen. And Tim Allen said that as he was reading the script, when he got to the end of the script, he expected there to be more. And he's just like, but there's no more. And then he just started crying.
Oh my goodness.
So I don't know what's going to come of Toy Story 4, but Tim Allen is just like, I am so on board with this.
Oh, what? You can't make Tim the Toolman Taylor cry. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, this is the har 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 guy. Come on, you can't make him go.
But this has nothing.
Which, incidentally, a Tim Allen cry is a Seth Rogen laugh.
But this has nothing to do with Netflix Cowboy Bebop. So
this has nothing to do with it. Although Toy Story 3 is still on Netflix, although it will disappear when Disney's streaming thing starts up.
Oh, okay. So Cowboy Bebop Netflix series, I guess. I don't know how to feel about it. I mean,
at least it won't feel rushed. Like, if it was a movie, there is always a possibility of it being, you know, another Death Note situation where they try to, throw in 20 episodes of plot into a 90-minute film.
Well, if we have a... As long as it says executive producer Shinichiro Watanabe and
he's
Keanu
actually,
Reeves, then I think we're good.
Well, I know for a fact that he is on as a consultant producer, which means he is kind of going to be overseeing everything to make sure everything is pure Cowboy Bebop.
Yep. Cool. So I guess we have that.
No news yet about Yoko Kanno and the seatbelts.
Okay.
Because, you know, that's important, too.
Explain why?
Because that's the music of the... Because the jazz soundtrack is, like, the backbone of Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah, I know. It's, yeah, we'll have to see what happens in this whole strange Netflix adaption, because Netflix likes to ruin absolutely everything. So we'll have to see how it goes. But that'll be a fun adventure when that comes along. What else we got?
Well, speaking more on Netflix, a long-lost classic is coming back. Have you guys ever heard of Neon Genesis Evangelion?
No! What is that? It's only the most famous anime ever created.
Please tell us more.
The original series is coming to Netflix this spring. They could totally release it now because it's already subbed and dubbed, but it's like, no, we're going to sit on this until spring.
I know, most anime fans already have it in their DVD collections. Like, I can just watch this whenever the hell I want.
Or they can watch the Evangelion redo movies, which are the better versions.
But I do love Evangelion. And for those people who haven't... Like, for this Netflix generation that we have, for those who haven't experienced Evangelion or don't want to buy it on DVD and don't have any access to it, this is a really, really good way for them to experience one of the most iconic animes ever created. It'll just be accessible to them because everybody's all about that Netflix and, you know, whatever Netflix is offering them. So it's a good way for newer generation. We're talking, you know, post-80s
post-90s.
Yeah, because we're the post-80s anime generation.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
So in a post-90s anime world, Evangelion is still very important in the same way that Cowboy Bebop is still very important. So, and not every post-90s person, anime fan, has seen it, and I think they should.
Yeah.
Because it's an absolute classic, and it is super depressing, and...
And then the movies are kind of gross in the beginning.
I've seen the first two films. I haven't seen the third film, even though we have it on DVD and Blu-ray.
I'm not talking about the redos. I'm talking about the Death and Rebirth and the End of Evangelion.
Oh, jeez. End of Evangelion made me... we've talked about this on the show so many times. End of Evangelion made me super depressed. Like, for a day. Like, I watched it the previous night. And then I was just like, I laid in bed for an entire day, and then
oh my goodness,
it was so depressing. It was so sad. It was one of the saddest movies I've ever seen.
What?
Well, wait till you watch Grave of the Fireflies. Finally.
Well, yeah, I know.
But you know, I remember watching End of Evangelion, and like, you know, I'd watched the whole series, and then I saw what's like the first thing he does in there. What's a PG way of saying he jerked off to Asuka's comatose body?
Well, I think you just skipped that PG-13 rating and just kind of went right to R.
Yeah. I was like, so this is the hero we're supposed to be rooting for. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a continuation of a story that already exists.
I know, but at the same time, it's like, I don't want to root for this guy no more. That's kind of screwed up.
I don't know, man. It's such an iconic scene. as weird as it is to say, that scene is so famous in the anime industry that it. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's gonna be great. Everybody's gonna love Evangelion.
Everyone's gonna experience it.
Yeah, now. Everybody's gonna love Evangelion. We promise. I can't wait till the fourth movie comes out because I really gotta finish. Because the new released movies are really great too. So
they are, and I know the fourth one is still in like pre-production. Like Hideaki Anno had, like, apologized for, like, we're sorry it's taking so long, but I promise it'll be worth the wait for the last one.
Well, it's gonna have to be because it is the last one, so they have to do it right.
Yeah. It's not even called Evangelion 4.0. It's Evangelion 3.0 plus 1.0.
Really?
So I'm wondering what that means. Huh. Is it gonna be, like, a freaking loop or something? Because that would be bonkers if that were the case.
That would be awful. Cool. So Evangelion on Netflix. What's next?
All right. So we've got one of your favorite films or fan franchises, Blade Runner, getting its own anime series from Crunchyroll and Adult Swim.
Yeah. So this is cool because they already kind of tried out the whole Blade Runner anime thing with Blackout.
Which was excellent.
What?
It's excellent, Blackout.
Okay. And I haven't seen it myself, but I really would like to because I love Blade Runner. Blade Runner is one of the most iconic cyberpunk visions out there. Like, when you think cyberpunk, everybody has kind of created this vision of their own Blade Runner, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So having that made into an anime, it just kind of... Like, I've been posting it. I posted it on the Nerdy Show Network, and I posted it to you guys. Hey, you got your Ghost in the Shell and my Blade Runner. You got your Blade Runner and my Ghost in the Shell. So, anime and Blade Runner and cyberpunk are all kind of married together, so it's just a perfect amalgamation. So I'm excited to see what they do with this.
And I know that one of the co-directors of this series is going to be Kenji Kamiyama, who did Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex.
Oh, wow. Okay. They're just like, get that cyberpunk guy. Get the cyberpunk guy. Have him do it.
And get this, Shinichiro Watanabe, once again, is going to be a creative producer, so he's going to help with the story.
Man. That's pretty great. I think he's
busy. He's going to be very busy.
Man, I can't even imagine. You're working on such iconic properties with such esteem, and like, can you imagine being the guy that they want you? Hey, Shinichiro Watanabe is like, another person's coming towards me. Who's calling my name this time?
Well, he is the one who directed Blackout, and that was, and again, it's got that pure Watanabe style, while also having that pure Blade Runner attitude.
Cool. Great.
So, he's overseeing his baby as a live action, and now he's overseeing someone else's child, making sure that it stays true to the original version of Blade Runner.
All right.
Because we definitely can't let Ridley Scott do that, because we cannot trust him doing that.
No. We saw what he did to his own Alien franchise.
Yes, we did.
Rest in peace, Alien.
You know, what's his name? The guy who directed District 9 and...
Yes.
He had Neil Blomkamp-Kofflet-Block. I'm pretty sure that's how you say his name. He had the sketches of what he wanted to do with the Alien franchise. And it was amazing what he wanted to do with it. But then really Scott came in and like, I'm going to do it myself. And it wound up being stupid.
Yeah, it was. But I'm always looking forward to the next Alien film so that I can just see how stupid it is and how badly he's just digging a grave for his own property. Why do they have better technology than what they have in the first Alien movie when it's literally thousands of years in the future? Doesn't make any sense!
That's why Alien Isolation is one of the best, like, follow-ups to the Alien franchise. Even better than most of the movies.
Right.
Because it stays true to the vision of the original Alien movie.
So, to answer your question, or not even question your statement, you're wondering who the director of District 9 was. Neil Blomkamp?
Yeah, Neil Blomkamp.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was close to what I said.
I heard it somewhere in that amalgamation of letters that you said.
I said, like, Neil Blomkamp.
That's right.
Or something like that. I think that's how you're supposed to say it in South Africa.
That's right, yes. That's South African for Neil Blomkamp.
Yes.
Oh.
Do you have anything else as far as news
goes? Well, the one other news thing I have here is, so, as readers of the Boston Bash Brigade will know, I did a review of the very first volume of a manga series called We Never Learn.
Which focuses on
the student who's, like, always been working hard to get that free pass to college, and he gets that free pass, but the catch is he has to tutor two of the other smartest students in the school who are terrible at their own, like, opposite, like, subjects. So one is awesome at mathematics and science, but sucks at, like, language, and the other one is awesome at language, but sucks at math. And then you've also got the sports girl who sucks at everything except for sports stuff. So, it's a really good manga, and my only issue is that a lot of the plot you see throughout, like, I'd say the first half of it is kind of like the been there, done that sort of thing, mm-hmm. but as it progresses, it gets better. So the reason why I'm bringing We Never Learn up is there is an anime adaptation that looks to be happening very, very soon. I don't know if it's this coming winter or if it's going to be in spring. But a trailer just dropped for it on the day of this recording, and it actually looks really good.
Nice. That's actually one of the shows I'll be looking forward to. I like the art style. I like the character designs. I like the character sheets that they dropped as far as the thing. Like, they all have super deep faces. And I was just like, oh, okay, that's cool. I mean, it looks like anime with cute girls, so that's probably what it's going to be, just one of those kinds of schools, but the concept is cool, kind of in the way where, it's almost what I was expecting out of Asobi Asobase, you know, because how it started, where it's just like, I'm really terrible at English, let's create an English club, and then it's none of that.
Yeah.
So, but this is kind of that, almost.
Almost, where, only they actually are legit creating a club to study.
Exactly.
To help one another.
Exactly.
Whereas the Asobi Asobase was just an awesome show about shitbags that we laugh at.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I'm really excited about is the fact that the person who's directing We Never Learn is Yoshiaki Iwasaki. Now, Yoshiaki Iwasaki, I know because he directed Love Hina, mm-hmm. and season 2 of Hayate the Combat Butler, two of my absolute favorite comedies ever made.
Nice. Yeah, so it's definitely one of the shows that I've seen coming in the coming up seasons where it's just like, oh, that looks fun because there's a dark-skinned girl, so I'm into that. and that's the only reason. So I don't know how good it's actually going to be, of course, because of that reason. But, I mean, that's kind of also been the reason, like, oh, maybe I should actually pick up the manga. I was thinking about picking up the manga for it because of the art, which is how I get into most anime.
The art is very nice. I do like the art style. It is very cutesy. And like I said, give it a few, like, the first few chapters. It starts off decently. Again, very similar to other series. But then, actually, I think right when the sports girl is introduced, that's when the story gets a little bit more original.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
I guess I'll have to check it out. I have no idea what else is coming out in the coming up season, so this is the only one we can really talk about.
Well, no, your Neverland is coming out as well.
That's right. Promised Neverland is supposed to start, but there hasn't
January been... 11th is the official date it's going to be airing.
So literally the day that I leave the show. The day after.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum.
Because I'll be gone... News update, I'll be gone for a couple months again, because I'm leaving, like I did when I went to Taiwan and Okinawa. I'll be leaving again on another trip, and I will be missing from Wicked Anime for about 2 months, and I'm leaving...
Dude, you can just bring them... Dude, it's not like you're going out of the country. You're still going to be in America. You can just bring a mic with you.
See, this is true. That's very true, because I'll still have my VRV, because when I was in Taiwan, I didn't. I could only watch Boruto on Crunchyroll. Because when you cross different countries, you don't have the same access to the internet, and it bars you from certain things unless you have a proxy, which I didn't, because I only had a tablet. And then what is it? And then I went to Japan, and nothing is available in Japan because it's simulcasted. So everything in Japan that's on Crunchyroll is all available on Netflix, but it's only in Japanese. So I couldn't watch any of it.
So wait, they don't even have English subtitles for them?
No, they don't.
Oh, wow.
the foreigners think they're going to be able to watch the animes with us.
So when I leave for Washington State, which is where I'll be going this time on this project that I'm leaving for, I'll be able to start watching Promised Neverland, which is exciting because that's my favorite manga at the moment because it is so great, and the next volume should be coming out in a week or so, I think. I should be getting the next volume really soon because it pretty much comes out on the same release day as My Hero Academia, and that's coming out really soon as well.
Oh, thank goodness. I seriously need season 4 right now.
Oh, no. My Hero Academia is not coming out. Like, next season now. Wait, is it? Actually, is it?
Spring, April, right? It's supposed to be spring.
Spring, so not next season, but the season after.
Oh, excuse me. I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but I'm just that excited.
They gotta wait for the manga to catch up a little bit, so. All right.
They pace it pretty well, yeah.
Yeah.
What if you did a vlog, by the way, for your trip?
Well, I am. It's called AFLM Art on Facebook.
You know, that's...
And Instagram.
Yes, you guys should check that out, by the way. AFLM. Shameless plug.
Yeah, AFLM Art on Instagram and Facebook. Go follow me, because I'm a professional artist, and that's what I'm leaving for Washington for, so.
And he's open for commissions.
I am open for commissions. I am. You should see my current project that I'm working on right now, which is a very, very sweet Aisha Clan pinup.
Ooh.
Have you seen that?
You remember you showed me that.
Yeah, I showed you that. Did I show you that?
Not yet, no.
Well, because you saw it on Facebook, I thought. This is the...
Every time you post a photo, I see the pictures, and they just get better and better.
It's actually a lot.
Nice.
Oh, yes, I have. Okay. It was a very nice one.
Yeah, so that's coming along. And for all of you that are listening to the audio, you just have to go to the websites to go see it and give me a follow and... Order commissions from it.
It's really good. Go check it out.
Yeah. Don't you dare defy the Kitaro.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, I mean, okay, so funny side story as to... Because I don't really draw a whole lot of fan art, but I kind of have the time to draw fan art now. As far as... So I've never really delved into drawing fan art of anime. But one of the artists that I'm friends with drew an Aisha Clan, and I was just like, oh, I can't. Can't have him show me I'm drawing an Aisha Clan. So I was, like, totally inspired to draw an Aisha Clan. And it kind of got me on this kick of, like, oh, I have all this pinup art that I could draw and reference from. So I'm going to be drawing a bunch of pinups of anime girls. And hopefully that will get me a better following. More people will start noticing me because, you know, as soon as you start doing, like, one, anime shows that people think are really popular. Two, sexy girls. For some reason, people are drawn to that. So hopefully.
I wonder why.
So and then you're going to start getting really awkward commissions. Can you make a lewd of this character for me?
Lewds? Do you draw lewds? It's like, no, I don't draw lewds. It's like, I draw close to lewds, but I don't draw lewds. It's like, jeez. So I'm gonna start doing more fan art to try to get more of a following going, because that's what people seek out as fan art. I've got the sexy girls covered.
Yes.
Or the cute girls, I should say.
Definitely.
I draw more cute girls than I draw sexy girls, but no, that's it.
Hey, I'm a guy who prefers cute over sexy.
It's true, me too. And that's why I do it. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so, any more news?
Well, no news, but let's look... why don't we check on what the hell's going on with my sister, my writer?
Yes, that was actually something that I was going to ask about, believe it or not.
Oh my god. So apparently, like, so in the end credits of recent, they've been hiding messages about how much trouble they are in production of My Sister, My Writer.
Yes. Which is really bizarre. I can't imagine. There are studios that have made much higher quality anime and gone under without making a bad anime. Now, this company is making a very bad anime that's very poorly animated, and we love it to death because of how bad
it is. But not in a good way.
But not in a good way.
We just can't help but watch this show because of how bad it is.
Well,
we hate it so much, but we're watching it.
Because the whole sibling incest genre is so... it's such a fascinating train wreck that really kicked off... I mean, they've done it before, but it really kicked off with Oriimo. Oriimo was the... because Oriimo was immensely popular. It got super popular. And after Oriimo came out, everybody just kind of started spiraling out of control with all these light novels about incest. And the phenomena is just so bizarre, and it's going to this place where you have terrible shows getting animated, like My Sister, My Writer.
Yeah.
And companies are tanking over it, which is also just so bizarre.
I feel like we have to go over to Japan to, like... record, like, a public service announcement? Like,
stop making incest anime. We don't need any more.
Why? Or just simply, remember, don't fuck your sister.
So, why is it a recurring theme coming from Japan with incest?
I don't know. Like,
it's literally the same reason why Japan obsesses over anything else. Like, when there's always phases that they go through as far as their light novels go. And... there's two genres battling it out right now, which is the isekai genre of normal human being goes to a fantasy world, or gets reincarnated in a fantasy world, and younger sister is in love with big brother, and big brother is also secretly in love with younger sister.
Oh, although, in My Sister, My Writer, it seems like he's trying to not do that with the sister.
Yeah, so... there's like a total resistance to it, but by the end of the show, you know that it's just like, I love you too. Just like Oriimo was, because Oriimo was an amazing show until they were like, nope, we're taking it seriously. It's like, oh.
If I was to do like a show like this, like it would be kind of like the root of Oriimo. And then it would get to that serious part, but like the last 5 minutes of it is just like the characters speaking at a character going, this is dumb, why are we fucking doing this? And just them like walking off the set and just beating the crap out of the writer and the director, and just be this whole meta thing about like how horrible of a genre it is.
That's a little too meta. What I would do is I would just get the series would be totally serious until you get up to the ending point, and then it turns into Takashi Miike's Dead or Alive, and where it just, if anybody else has seen Dead or Alive, the movie's a normal cop film, like a cop crime drama, until it gets to the end of the movie, and then everybody has superpowers, and then the world gets destroyed, and you're just like, what's happening? And it would be great to just be watching an incest anime, and then at the end, it's just like, turns into a Dragon Ball Z shonen, and then into, like, a Fist of the North Star sign-in, and then, like, an elfin lead, let's destroy the world, depressing drama.
You have pretty much confused me right now.
Exactly. That would be the best incest anime ever. Where that happens at the end.
Wait, that was the tie-in? I'm so confused. I'm just thinking, like, Dragon Ball Z, see, like, all these action animes, and you then see, you're just, like,
you know
incest.
What? I feel like what you're going for is the final episode of Excel Saga. gone too far.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Except take it totally seriously. So just take the last episode of XL Saga, but it's completely dead serious. Like, it's taking itself almost way too seriously until it turns into, like, a grimdark type Goblin Slayer experience.
And Nabi-Sin was behind it all along.
So anyway, we're sorry that you're falling to pieces, studio that's writing My Writer, My Sister. I'm sure somebody thought this was a good idea, but everybody else is like, oh no.
Why are we doing this?
And here's
the thing, like, it went on break for a week because they didn't finish the episode in time, and then when you saw the episode that came the following week, it was the worst animation yet.
Because they had to rush it. And I actually haven't seen it yet because I haven't caught up. But maybe
it is bad.
Maybe it is.
Oh,
so
I need to just write my review for it and just stop watching.
But if you stop watching, how will we ever know what happens?
I am not your guinea pig in your weird experiment, dude.
Fine, I'll do it myself.
All right, I'll volunteer.
I volunteer as tribute. I think that's it for all that mess. I guess yes. It's time to go on to what we're watching.
Or what we had watched.
Yes. So, let's...
Well, before we dive into it, Greg, have you been watching anything new lately?
I have, unfortunately, not had a chance to. I am in the last few weeks of my semester at college, and it is very hectic, so I've been trying to get caught up.
That sounds good. I've been doing art for about 4 weeks and haven't watched any anime at all for about 4 weeks.
I know. Tonight I might go home and get caught up on Cells at Work and Goblin Slayer because I know I've missed the last few episodes of those and I really want to see them.
Excellent.
I actually have the fourth volume of the Goblin Slayer manga and I haven't read it yet. Oh, I also got the fourth volume of Yuna and the Haunted Hot Springs.
Ah, I gotta order that one.
And I haven't read that yet either.
I got the fourth volume of City waiting for me to review.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I'm super jealous. I have the review copy of My Hero Academia that I haven't read yet.
Mm-hmm.
I have the new Junji Ito book that I haven't read yet. That I have, and I have the new volume of Dragon Maid that I have. I have 5 volumes of manga sitting that I haven't read yet. That's a lot of manga to read while you're a fully independent artist. Though reading it before drawing would probably be really good inspiration for doing some drawing, so I should probably start doing that in the morning.
Yeah.
To get my brain juices flowing.
Maybe what you should do is after you read a volume of manga, you attempt to draw one of the characters from the manga.
Yeah, I could totally do that.
I like that idea.
I have good ideas!
Let us know at Wicked Anime.
Just Wicked Anime. Wicked Anime anything! Just let
Tweet
us know.
Tweet us at Yo Wicked Anime.
I was trying to think of, like... like, yeah, let us know in the comments. So, what comments?
Holy crap.
It's one of those things. Right.
So what we're watching, or what we watched, and what amazing things have we watched? Oh, I know what... Let's talk about something not amazing that I watched before going into what we did watch.
Okay.
So I saw Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Uh-huh. Ralph Breaks the Internet.
And it was bad. Now, not everybody shares this opinion, but both Jonathan and Christine... We all went to go see the movie together. It was me, Jonathan, and Christine. We all went to go see the movie, and it was... We all agreed that it was not a good movie. The movie started with a plot and didn't end with that plot.
What?
And instead of having one continuous story, it was more like 5 different subplots back-to-back, one after another. And it felt like as if a Wreck-It Ralph TV show exists out there somewhere, and this was just a movie version of the TV show, and it was just an episode in their adventure of Wreck-It Ralph. It was bad. Now, I'm not saying... Well, I got him off his bed to go get it out of the drawer. So, I'm not saying that you should not go see it, because I truly believe that everybody should make their own opinion, because I have talked to people who think it's good, but they're also, like, Disney-files, and they're just like, oh my gosh, everything Disney makes is amazing. You should go to make your own opinion of it, but I'm throwing my hat in the ring of, because I'm a huge Wreck-It Ralph fan. The first movie was amazing. It was an animation milestone as far as the animation industry goes.
Yep.
So I actually went to Wreck-It Ralph being like, oh my gosh, it's the second Wreck-It Ralph movie. I hope it's good. And then I walked out, somewhere halfway through the movie, I was like, oh no, like, I'm not enjoying this. You know, like, you know that feeling when you're sitting in the movie and you're like, oh no, I hate this.
And the worst part is, like, you waste that $20 and you're just yeah. like, oh, well, I'm not going to leave.
No, I honestly, whenever I go see a movie that I hate in theaters, yeah. I actually don't feel like I wasted money. Because I got to experience the movie theater experience of seeing a bad movie.
Well, that's... that's something interesting. I've never heard it spun like that before.
Yeah. So, well, because then I get to talk about it on a show like this, and how about how much I didn't enjoy it.
So, you're like a select elite group of few people who, like, I feel like get a positive spin out of yeah, seeing a bad movie.
Exactly. So Wreck-It Ralph was one of those where halfway, somewhere as the movie was going on, I had the dread feeling of, oh no, I'm not enjoying this. And then by the end, I was like, oh, maybe the ending of the movie will make it good, and it didn't.
Okay.
Because the characters didn't develop. And what little development the character... because when you create a story and you create a sequel, the characters are supposed to develop even more so than what they were in the previous movie. And I feel like they didn't do that. They just stayed stagnant, and where they were at the beginning of the movie, it was like very Catcher in the Rye, where after you watch this, little kids will want to become serial killers because they're just like, oh, it's nihilistic and life is meaningless kind of a thing.
However, we don't condone serial killers on this show.
I might. But, call the herd.
Good job, Lars von Trier.
When I was at the movie and the movie was over, there was one moment when the movie was ending that it could have made it very good. They could have, and they just totally bypassed that point and left a bunch of plot holes in it and left a bunch of unanswered questions. And basically what I felt from it was Disney released it like, oh, this is a movie for children, which the first Wreck-It Ralph wasn't, because you don't, like, children wouldn't understand all those complex old video game references and all the properties that were used. I mean, you have little kids who'll be like, ooh, Sonic the Hedgehog, I know what that is. But they don't understand, like, Tapper and Donkey Kong and Street Fighter and all these things that mean things to adults. But when you go to a movie like Ralph Breaks the Internet, and it's just like, oh, Google, I know what that is. Oh, apps, I know what that is. Oh, YouTube, I know what that is. It's so pandering and so kind of degrading to what Wreck-It Ralph was. Because Wreck-It Ralph was about, I'm an old video game character. I'm an old arcade-age video game character. And I was important at one time, and now I'm not, and I was a bad guy, but just because I'm a bad guy doesn't mean I have to be a bad guy. That was Wreck-It Ralph 1. Wreck-It Ralph 2 was, everything is new, and it's the internet, and remember all these things that are happening right now, and it's very pandering to the internet age of kids of, like, tweeting, and eBay, and BuzzFeed, and Amazon, and it was just like, guys, we understand, but the internet is way too big to encapsulate into one movie and create a plot out of it. And especially because the beginning of the movie does not result in the end of the movie. And it was just very poorly written, in my opinion.
So, do you think there are any saving qualities about this film? Why maybe you should go see it?
It was very funny.
That's it.
The comedy was very good.
Okay.
So it made me laugh, but just because I laughed at it and the jokes were good and the jokes hit home for me doesn't mean it was a quality film. The story was bad.
Right.
And when the writing is bad, then the whole thing suffers no matter how good your jokes are.
Yep.
I know, I'm kind of retreading old ground, so it's kind of like how Freddy Got Fingered was.
Freddy Got Fingered was an FU to Hollywood, and that's why I like Freddy Got Fingered. Because Freddy Got Fingered was hilarious in the fact that Tom Green was was very angry that Hollywood made him do something just because he was Tom Green. So he took all of Hollywood's money and was just like, I wonder what they'll let me get away with in a film. So yes and no. This was just kind of a disappointment in the fact that I love Wreck-It Ralph, and Wreck-It Ralph 2 was bad. And the ending of the movie had potential to be good, and they chose not to and left a bunch of plot holes and didn't answer a whole bunch of questions. Because they made up their own rules about the internet. Like, the internet exists and it has rules, and everybody in this day and age understands the rules of the internet.
Yep.
But, like, a fictional video game character can't make digital money without a real bank account. Or like, a real... Because, like, Ralph is making money. But he's a video game character.
What about Bitcoin?
But you still need, like, a place to put it. You can't just carry Bitcoin around with you.
Yeah, all right.
And unless you get the Devolver Digital Bitcoin.
Because okay, so the plot devolves. They need to buy him and... Oh, crap, what's her name?
I don't know.
Vanellope?
Vanellope von Schweetz. So Ralph and Vanellope need to buy something off of eBay. And eBay, I don't know if you can buy things with Bitcoin on eBay.
I think it's just debit card, credit card, or PayPal.
Yeah, and PayPal requires you to have a bank account.
Right.
So you can't buy something off of eBay if you don't have a bank account. And Ralph isn't a real person. You still need a billing address. You need an ID. You need an identification. You need all these things to buy something, but Ralph is a fictional video game character. So where is all this money going? And they try to, it's like, oh, you have an app now. And it's just like, that doesn't make any sense.
So the answer I'll give you is literally in the title of the movie, which is he breaks the internet.
So that's another one of my problems with the movie, is Ralph doesn't break the internet until the last 15 minutes of the movie.
Can you mention anything without ruining it?
No, that's okay. All I'm going to say is, and the reason why he breaks the internet is not the reason why they went to the internet in the first place.
Ooh, sounds like I should go check that.
Like, people will argue with me on that, but I will argue straight back with them about this whole thing.
So, would you recommend... I know you.
I will not stop anybody from going to see Wreck-It
Ralph.
But
you don't recommend it.
I would not. I thought it was a bad, disappointing sequel.
Okay.
To a very good movie that came out beforehand.
Okay. So.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right. Yeah. No, you answered my question.
Yep. So I just wanted to let people know that I saw Wreck-It Ralph, and being a Wreck-It Ralph fan, I hated the second one. It was not a good film. The writing was very poor. It was a movie for babies for a movie that originally wasn't for babies.
That's very sad.
Yeah. And actually, there are things in the movie that they made it very apparent that it was a movie for babies, which was, it didn't make any sense to me. So,
well, maybe, and I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
But now that I think about it, so as you mentioned, the first one you said was not really meant for kids. And obviously it's
Disney.
Well,
it was meant for kids, but it was more meant for the arcade age adults.
Right.
It's so, kind of like how Shrek was a kids movie, but it was meant more for the parents that were bringing the kids.
Yeah. Even though Shrek was not a good movie. I did not like Shrek, unfortunately.
The first Shrek is good.
No, it was not.
The second one was way better. But
second
it was like,
one was way better.
The third one is when it started going really downhill fast.
Yeah, no, I watched the first Shrek not too long ago, and it did not age well. Like, Disney and Pixar ages very well. Shrek 1, poof.
Oh, I loved Shrek 1.
I hate Shrek 1, man. Even when I was a kid and I saw Shrek 1 for the first time, I did not like it. I haven't liked Shrek ever. So
that would put you in a super minority, then.
I don't know, man.
I think so.
It's like not a great movie. I mean, it's funny. I'm not saying it's not funny, but it's not a good movie.
No, you're right. You're right, because I actually went over a review of a movie that recently came out a few weeks ago on my podcast, Rancid Potatoes, called Venom, and I actually did find that there was an overabundance of it in the movie, but the plot was kind of terrible. So I see where you're coming from.
Yep. So what did we see that was good, Evan? Which one do you want to pick first?
Oh, well, because he just mentioned Venom, I feel like it's the perfect segue to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
So Evan got preview tickets 2 weeks early to see Spider-Verse, and he was very generous to invite me, and I am so happy that
you see,
did.
Like, I invited you, but then after I invited you, I was like, wait, he, like, totally bashed Marvel the last time we hung out. Is he going to like this?
Well, so, I will go, see, Spider-Verse I don't count as, like, part of the Marvel, like, it is a Marvel movie, but it's Spider-Man, and everybody likes Spider-Man, in my opinion. And this Into the Spider-Verse was an animated film. And it had a unique storyline that wasn't like a global... This was a Sony animated picture. And I love Sony Animation for one thing. Sony Animation Studios is good because I love Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and all those kinds of things that they create.
Which, by the way, that was also a Lord and Miller movie.
Yeah. Well, and I like Hotel Transylvania. Hotel Transylvania is wicked funny.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's Gendy Tarnovsky's charm right there.
Yeah, exactly. So Sony Animation, I have their back. I love Sony Animation Studios. So that was a good factor for me. Spider-Man, everybody likes Spider-Man. So you can't go wrong with that. Even if you don't like Marvel, you can like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But just him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. And Captain America. You have to like Captain America.
No Iron Man, just Captain America.
And then the movie itself was intriguing to me because it was Spider-Verse. So I was like, this is really cool. So me and Evan went to go see it. We got to see it 2 weeks early before everybody else did. Actually, when this episode is released, I believe it's coming out tomorrow.
Yes.
Hold on. Before we dive into this movie, I really want to just make a mention of something. Because, like, right before, like, the movie started, we saw a trailer for, like, one of those...
Yes! Oh my gosh!
So we saw this trailer for a movie about, like, a dog and such, and it's telling the story of what this movie's about. But as the trailer progresses, it's telling you every goddamn thing that's going to happen in this movie.
It literally, the trailer was... Look it up, it's a movie about a dog. And the dog's name is, like, Beth or Belle or something like that?
Bella.
Yeah.
I think it might be The Secret Life of Pets 2, but I could...
No.
It's not an animated movie. It's a live-action dog movie about a guy who finds a stray dog as a puppy.
Yep.
Raises it. It runs away. And it's trying to find its way back home. And then it does. All in the trailer.
It's so basically when someone makes an AMV based off of an anime movie.
Yes, it was an AMV, but in trailer form.
Yes, to an acoustic version of Avicii's Wake Me Up.
Yeah. So the trailer showed it as a puppy, showed it as an adult loving and playing with its human, running away.
Helping somebody out in the forest,
helping
and then returning during what seems to be a wedding scene.
Well, and then fighting off an animal, becoming friends with a mountain
a cougar.
Lion, and then returning to its owner at the end of the trailer
with the mountain lion next to him.
No. I wish, but you hear like the dog bark and the guy as an adult like turns around and his dog is running towards him
and he's and like, then it's just like, no way.
But why?
I don't know. It was like, it was amazing. But that was before Spider-Verse, and everybody in the theater just was laughing hysterically.
No, they were laughing because of what I said. Like, I just blurted out, we just watched the whole thing, and just everyone laughed.
It was just like, well, I guess we just watched the movie. And everybody in the theater just started laughing. It was so funny because it was so good point, Evan. Good point. That was good.
Yes, if you want to see how to do a trailer bad, find this movie.
Well, you can also watch the first plan or the Rise of the Planet of the Apes trailer, because that tells you the story from beginning to end as well. They've been doing it for ages. Since Planet of the Apes, people have been terrible at making trailers, but it's because of the statistic that 70% of Americans won't go see a movie if they don't know what happens from beginning to end.
Which sucked. You know, I was talking to my friend Ryan Morrison, who is a writer for the upcoming film Arctic, which is coming out in February, stars Mads Mikkelsen. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the art of the trailer, and he and I agree that trailers should act more either showing like just a bit of the universe or even just act as a prelude to what you're going to experience a movie.
I believe that trailers, you should not make a trailer. I mean, so unfortunately, movie studios send unfinished footage and just whatever they have shot at the time to trailer companies to make trailers. But I believe that you shouldn't show anything in a trailer that isn't out of Act 1. Act 2 and 3 should never make it into a trailer. It should only be Act 1.
Yeah.
Totally agree. I actually make this point when we're talking about the second movie we're going to talk about, but let's talk about Spider-Man right now.
Yes, let's talk about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And this one actually focuses on Miles Morales, his origin story of sorts, and then intertwining with many different multiple universes, because it's like this massive collider that opens up this portal in New York City that brings in another Peter Parker from another universe, and all these other ones, Spider-Gwen, and let's see, Spider-Gwen, Penny Parker, Spider-Ham, and Spider-Man Noir.
Which is amazing.
Wait, Spider-Ham?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And Spider-Ham is played by John Mulaney, and it's so funny because it's John Mulaney.
Oh my goodness.
And Spider-Man Noir is played by Nicolas Cage, and it's hilarious because it's Nicolas Cage.
So, which, mind you, this is the year where Nicolas Cage has played both Superman and Spider-Man in the same year.
Not gonna lie, he must have been really good according to what you say, but I'm still kind of depressed because it's Nicolas Cage.
No, Nicolas Cage as Spider-Man Noir was phenomenal.
Yes.
So good.
Because he has that, like, deep kind of,
because
like,
he has, like, the Spider-Man Noir dark and gloomy voice.
Sometimes I burn the match down to my fingers just to see if I can feel anything.
Oh. Yeah, it was, so, it was, I, guys, everybody, and this is coming from me, a guy who rejected Marvel movies because they suck. Because it's the same thing over and over and over and over again. And I'm a DC guy over Marvel. Everybody has to go see the Spider-Verse. This is one of the most amazing animated films. Especially after seeing something like Wreck-It Ralph and being like, what the hell was that?
Right.
Now I'm going to see the Spider-Verse like, see? Like, look at what they just did!
This is what you can do! This is Art Man!
Yeah!
You can make an all-inclusive Spider-Man movie and make it badass, make it cool, make it unique. And I gotta say, like, one of the things that really drew me first to when I was watching the trailer, the animation style for, you know, the Miles Morales world, it's CGI, but at the same time, it's kind of got this sort of stop-motion feel to it.
Yeah, so they did a sort of keyframe animation where it's very clicky and jumpy, which is a style of animation that is not very popular, but I actually enjoy it a lot.
Me too.
But I've never seen an animated movie, like a comic book movie, done like this before. Because it has comic book sound effects, it has speech bubbles, it has everything. Like it's a comic book in motion. It was beautiful. It looked beautiful. But not only did it look beautiful, it was written beautifully.
Yeah.
The story, and we're talking about, this is like a Lord and Miller thing, so...
Yeah, well, it was, Miller just produced it. Lord was one of the, he came up with the story, and he was one of the co-writers.
Yes.
I have the actual, screenplay. I don't know who Rodney Rotham, who also was one of the three directors of this film, and he also helped write the scripts for 22 Jump Street, and he also wrote, Grudge Match.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, so this was a totally unique experience because we were so for, well, I mean, I've seen movies early release before, but man, this was, I felt fortunate to see this because it was so good. It was so good. I've never, me and Evan, when the credits started rolling, we were in shock.
Yeah, like, and, I think the first words that came out of my mouth were just, oh my god.
Yeah, you, it was, and, dude, I almost think, so because, of course, it's a Marvel movie, everybody has to wait till after, I'm not going to say anything about the after credits, but you have to wait till after the credits, because it's a Marvel movie. And Stan Lee is in this movie.
And I have to say about that is just how passing the baton it felt.
Well, that passing the baton, in. But passing the baton to everybody. Mm-hmm. It's almost like Stan Lee recorded his voice line in the movie like he knew he was going to not see this movie. And when Stan Lee showed up, like, everybody in the theater, like, started crying. And was like, oh, like there was an audible, oh. Like, because everybody got to see Stan Lee again. It's like we got to see Stan Lee again.
Yeah,
but like after he passed away, his voice was in it and his animated character was in it, and we all felt like we got to talk to Stan Lee one last time.
Does he have a bigger role than just a cameo?
No, it's still just a cameo, but it's one of the most.
I think it's his best cameo.
It's one of his most appropriate lines because of he just passed away, and you're just like, I cannot believe that was the cameo line that they gave him.
Yeah,
oh, like, I gotta see this
now. It's so, and then of course at the end of the movie they paid tribute to him, and it's just like tears.
This is what I loved about the tribute. It wasn't an in memory of Stan Lee. It was a thank you, Stan Lee.
Yeah, and Stan Lee was all like, we talked about this on the last episode, how important Stan Lee's fans were to him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And how important he was to us as, like, and me, even though I'm not a Marvel guy, he's still a legend. And I respect him as the legend of what he's accomplished and what he did for the industry. So this stuff, like, grabbed me by the heart and just yanked. You know, it was hard. And I felt like I was crying over the Stan Lee stuff in the movie. It was beautifully done.
And what's nice too is, like, there's that message that he has in this cameo, but then it kind of, like, he has, like, one final good laugh.
Yes.
At the end of the cameo.
Guys, so the Stan Lee stuff was beautiful, the comedy stuff was beautiful, the story was beautiful, the animation was beautiful.
Voice acting was perfect.
Jake Johnson, who played Peter Parker, was one of the most amazing Peter Parkers I've ever heard.
I feel like he was, like, the most real Peter Parker.
Yeah. And the way they wrote Peter Parker felt like your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man again, where he was sarcastic and funny, and, ugh, it just felt good. And I cannot... The way they wrote his comedy was beautiful. Like, I don't know. I can't say some things because I just want people to see it and experience it, like, the same way that I experienced it.
Let's say that Jake Johnson was great as Peter Parker. Haley Steinfeld was great as Spider-Gwen.
Oh, my gosh.
And now you understand why she had that haircut.
Yeah, I know! Like, I was just like, why does she have, like, a half cut? Like, that's kind of weird, and it's just like, oh, this is cool! I like that! You know? So, everybody needs to go see Spider-Verse when it comes out.
Because this is a name I've never even heard of before this movie. Shameik Moore as Miles Morales is phenomenal. Like, yeah. This is one of the best, like, interpretations of a Spider-Man that you will see. And he does a great performance.
So, just everybody go see Spider-Verse. The same way that the first Wreck-It Ralph was an animation milestone, Spider-Verse is also an animation milestone.
In my opinion.
And good for you, Sony Animation, for not messing it up at all. Like, yeah. You get high rewards for this. So,
like, if it was between, like, the Into the Spider-Verse and the next movie that we're going to be talking about going head-to-head for the Oscar, I'd be okay with either one of them winning.
Yeah. So, transitioning into that then, the next movie we saw was the brand new Hosoda film.
Mirai.
Oh, Mirai of the Future!
Because I had written a review for the Electric Sisterhood. You could find it on there. But man, Mirai. See, Mamoru Hosoda understands how to not just draw real characters. He knows how to bring out the realness in everybody's performance.
There's a reason why I worship the ground that Hosoda walks. He is what I want to be. So, like, him and Stan Lee are kind of on the same pedestal, where Hosoda was just like, I know what I want to do in my future, and he did it. And Stan Lee became this American icon, this American legend of, I did what I love to do, and here's what I accomplished. And those are people that we need to look up to, you know, and Not on, like, we don't need to look at them like they're more important than we are. We need to see what they have done and see what they have accomplished and try to aspire to their level of accomplishment. Because,
right. Kind of like with Hosoda, like you were telling me about, like, how Hosoda watched Castle Cagliostro, and that, yes, was, like, his realization of, like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, he's in 1979, he saw the Lupin the Third Miyazaki film, and he said, that's what I want to do. That was his aha moment, in the same way that I watched Teen Titans when I was a kid, and I was just like, that's what I want to do. And if I ever get to Hosoda's position, that's what I'm going to say. I would be like, I was watching Teen Titans one day, and that's what I said, that's what I want to do. And then, you know, I use Thundercats as my whatever. So, but watching Mirai, I've seen all of Hosoda's work, and I can easily rank them in order of what my favorite films are, in order from best to worst. And I'm so comfortable with putting Mirai of the Future at probably number two or three, because it's that good. Because Hosoda understands melancholy. And he understands, this is what I said, in the same reason, in the same vein that everybody understood that Bill Cosby was one of the best comedians on the face of this planet, the reason why he was one of the funniest human beings who ever existed was because he told the truth. He told you a story about something that really happened to him, and everybody in the entire planet has always experienced that as well. And they laughed, because all he did was tell you exactly what you've experienced as well, and everybody related to it. That's how Hosoda writes his movies. He writes a story about something that everybody on the face of this planet can relate to, and makes a story out of it, and everybody cries at the end, because it's so good. And he hits your emotions right where it counts. And makes these beautiful masterpieces of animation. A lot of people like to say Hosoda is the next Miyazaki, but ever since I saw Summer Wars, which was his second original release, I was like, No, he's better than Miyazaki. He's always been better than Miyazaki. Not that I don't think Miyazaki isn't good. Don't say, oh, Andrew said Miyazaki isn't good. I just think Hosoda is better than Miyazaki. And Hosoda used Miyazaki to get to where he is now. So we have to thank Miyazaki as well for creating Hosoda, who is right. a person like he is, who aspires to create beautiful pieces of artwork like Mariah of the Future. Now, we're talking about Mariah of the Future, and some people might not even know what the movie is. And it's about a little boy, a toddler, growing up with his parents, and his parents have another baby, and Mariah is his sister. And his sister is an infant. And the reason why it's called Mirai no Mirai is Mariah of the Future is because his little baby sister comes to see him from the future while he's still a toddler. And she's like helping him or having him help her while she's a toddler.
What?
And it's a beautiful story about siblings growing up together and learning to be siblings, because he is like, I'm the king of this house because I'm the child. And they're like, well, now there's a new little child. And now he's not as important anymore because now there's two of them. And it's this wonderful story about an entire family coping with the newness of having a brand new baby.
And it's not just him. It's not just Kun. It's also the parents as well.
Yeah, it's the parents. It's everybody. It's the whole household. And it's wonderful. Guys, Hosoda is a genius. He is an absolute genius. And if you haven't seen any of his movies, pick any one of them and it's amazing. But Mirai is super, super, super great at making a relatable family story. Like, this is a family movie. It's awesome. Yeah, it's art. And I walked out of that movie being like, I quit my job to become an artist because of what he does.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I left my job so I could be a full-time artist. And I watched that Hosoda film and I said, that's why I did this. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. So that's how important a movie like this is to me. So and then I went home and I started doing that Aisha Clan picture because I was like so inspired to do anything.
One of the cool lessons of this movie that I loved, and not just about learning to be a big brother, it's the whole concept of parenting.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about there is no such thing as perfect parenting. John Cho says, there's only good enough.
Yep. And there's no preparing for it. You can't be prepared in any way. As much as you do prepare, you will never be prepared. And oh man. Guys, go see a masterpiece and watch Hosoda's new film. Go see two masterpieces. Go see one that will make you cry and one that will make you laugh. And one is Enter the Spider-Verse and one is Mirai of the Future.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, too. Both will make you laugh and cry, but for different reasons.
Yes. Yeah, Spider-Verse made me cry because I miss Stan Lee. and because I love heroes. There were so many parts in Spider-Man when Peter Parker was saving somebody that I felt like I wanted to cry, because I've always, my base inspiration for doing what I do is I love it when people save other people. You know, like being a hero, like having the hero meant, it's why I love Kenshiro so much from Fist of the North Star.
Because that's why you love All Might too from My Hero Academia.
It's why I love All Might, exactly. It's all that reason. It's because these people are selflessly putting themselves in danger so that they can save somebody. And I love that. So Spider-Man, you know, made me cry because stuff like that happened. But I also saw Stan Lee, and I miss Stan Lee. And then Mariah of the Future made me cry because Hosoda is a genius and he knows how to rip your heart or pull on your heartstrings because he relates to your real life.
Mm-hmm.
So deep.
So you got some catching up to do and some things to look forward to there, Greg.
I got some homework.
Yeah,
you
on
do.
Top of the mounds of homework.
I know it's a bummer that Evan's thing only brought one other person, because it'd be like, oh, Greg would be so perfect because like he could put it on his show to like, talk about Spider-Verse.
I would. Yeah. I plan on still talking about it.
Well, I tell you what, Greg. I'm going to go, when you go see Spider-Verse, like, me, you, and Jonathan are going to go see it, because I want to see it again.
This is what I actually told my room, Elite Four Derek and Rumi Raff, like, we're going to go see this movie. I'm going to go see it again, and I'm taking you with me.
Yeah, the ticket that we got was free. I'm paying money to go see it again.
It's just that good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I love the art stuff. Like, from what I've seen from pictures, and I thought I saw a trailer. Well, there should be a trailer out by now.
Yeah, there's a couple trailers out.
Oh, yeah.
The art style was amazing, and I was like, that just looks like... It just looks so good.
It's amazing. Yeah. The art style is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and it was fun. Like, I've never had so much fun watching a movie before. I enjoyed it. Well, I mean, I probably have had so much fun watching... Like, you can't... I mean... You know what I mean. It's an exaggeration. It's hyperbole. But it was a blast. Like, I was in the theater. Me and Evan were laughing and we're having a blast. It was great. And we enjoyed the characters. The characters were amazing. The characters were included perfectly.
But you said you also cried, too, right?
And I cried.
And that's what I love. It's because you just get opposite ends of the emotional spectrum.
Yep.
And it just makes you feel like a human being.
And it's all about the beauty of it. Oh, yeah. Like, that's what makes... Because, and then, you know, we go back to the beginning of the conversation, and you look at a thing like Wreck-It Ralph, and you're just like, why did they do that when you can pull these emotions out of people through animation?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
That's a testament right on its own.
All right. I mean, you watch the Wreck-It Ralph movie, and then you watch, like, the Enter the Spider-Verse, and... You don't want to protect the smile of Penelope like you want to protect the smile of Penny Parker.
Well, that was funny, too, because they were all different animation styles. They're all from different universes, so they're all different animation styles, which was really neat. So,
How many different ones do you think there are?
Well, Penny was the most different because she was still a 3D character, but she looked 2D because she's an anime character.
Spider-Ham was more Looney Tunes inspired, of course.
Yeah, Spider-Ham was like a bunch of... like floating planes,
and then Spider-Man Noir was more like Sin City.
Yeah, Spider-Man Noir was done like a Sin City character.
No way.
And he had a different filter put on him than everybody else. But then Spider-Gwen, Peter Parker, and Miles were all like the same animation style. So there were three. There were four different animation styles all in the movie. And the character designs are beautiful.
Yes.
Kingpin, holy crap! Kingpin looked awesome.
Even the Green Goblin was like a monstrous, amazing.
Yeah, that
like,
was a, that was cool. Bizarre. I didn't expect that. So, but I'm not going to spoil any of the other villains in the movie because there are other villains in the movie.
What? Yeah.
Okay, now I'm excited. Well, yeah. I've been excited, but now more excited.
Well, like so, Kingpin. The only reason I said Kingpin is because he was the first villain to show up, but I didn't know he was in the movie, so I was like, "Oh, Kingpin's in this!" Like, yeah. So it was really cool. It was awesome. I was so excited. Yeah. So I think that's what we got for our. What we're watching and Tapagotchi.
Yes.
So. Yes. Cool. So, listeners, please, go see Mirai if it's still playing in theaters. And then tomorrow, go directly to the movie theater again to go see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And I have to say one other thing, too.
Sure.
This movie actually has a Post Malone song that's actually good.
Oh, which one? Because I'm
it's,
actually
it's a spider. Of... It's the theme song to this movie. It's he wrote... It shows that he can actually write a good song if he tries. So it doesn't change the fact that I don't like him, but I know at least he can actually write a good song.
So that's my only gripe about the movie is the soundtrack is shit.
It was in power metal.
Well, yeah, duh.
Sorry, I'm trying to think of like, why didn't Rabbit Junk do the score? Arrgh!
Oh, that would be awesome.
For some reason, you talk about all these bands, and I just want to say, oh, why didn't you mention Corpiclonic or whatever?
Corpiclonic? I don't know. Is there a Norse style of Spider-Man? Because if there's a Norse Spider-Man, it would be awesome if Corpiclonic did the music for them.
Corpiclonic?
Listeners, please tell us if there is a Norse-styled Spider-Man. If it's canon or if it's part of the Spider-Verse, I want to know. Is it a Spider-Man that's got, like, big, giant, like, deer antlers coming up through his, like, mask? Or let us know. Or like, is it a Spider-Man with a Viking helmet? Come on. Tell us.
Let us know in the comments below. Wait, I'm just kidding.
All right. So, moving on to some fan service. Oh, wait. There's also one thing that I want to say about Spider-Verse. When it introduces the characters, and the characters are coming into Miles Morales' world, keep your eyes on the advertisements in New York Square. They're hilarious. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's okay. All I'm going to say.
Keep my eyes peeled. Yeah.
Let's just say that there's a part during the Spider-Gwen backstory that I just gasped because they snuck it in.
And maybe like 1% of people will actually get it. So for now, we're still going to be doing this all the way up until Christmas, but the majority of our fan service are our Christmas demands that got tweeted to us on Twitter. So first one comes from Wicked Fan Mike at Yo Wicked Anime hashtag Christmas demands.
Wait. Do we have the never ending loop of Christmas bells?
We'll have to send that to Greg and put it in after. And Christmas bells.
All right.
So, at Yo Wicked Anime hashtag Christmas demands from Wicked Fan Mike. Even less horse girls. 2. More Elite Four Derek and Security Guy Greg.
Hey!
Well, you got half of that today.
All right.
3. More Pokemon. 4. Wah! 5. Profit.
Where's that from? Because that's definitely from like a movie or some...
I think it's from Sunny...
It's South Park.
Oh, it is South Park? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, the End of Pants Gnomes episode.
Okay.
So Wicked Fan Mike... Thank you for throwing that in, because I love that checklist when it ends with profit. All God right. bless you.
Next comes from Wicked Fan Sean, a.k.a. Frostbeard the Porn Master. So Frostbeard says, at Yo Wicked Anime, the next volume of Black Lagoon to come out. Hashtag Christmas demands. I agree! And thankfully, it is coming off of hiatus, so we are partially getting our Christmas demands to us, so hopefully we'll get another volume soon. At Yo Wicked Anime... This is still... The rest of these are Frostbeard. Yo Wicked Anime. One Punch Man cross My Hero Academia crossover. Normal and hentai versions are both welcome. Hashtag Christmas demands. At Yo Wicked Anime. A live action adaption that doesn't suck. Hashtag Christmas demands. Sorry, I don't think you're ever going to get that Christmas demands. I guess we're going to have to wait for Netflix's Cowboy Bebop to find out. At Yo Wicked Anime. Say the ages of the characters somewhere so we know if they're legal age so that I don't get stuck at the border explaining to the feds that she is not a minor in those dojins again. Hashtag Christmas demands. Oh my gosh, that's so hilarious. Oh my gosh, at Yo Wicked Anime, an at gritty NHL hentai, hashtag Christmas demands.
A gritty hint. So gritty, the Flyers?
The Philadelphia Flyers mascot.
He certainly does have the O-face for that. Or the happy face.
And then finally from Frostbeard, Dakimakuras of all the at Yo Wicked Anime hosts, hashtag Christmas demands.
No.
Yes. And I can do that. Greg's would have to be like 4 Dakimakuras, like put together like in a bunch of different ways. Greg would be like a massive, you know, like the Monster Musume Ogre Dakimakura that came out that was massive. That would have to be Greg's Dakimakura. It would have to be massive.
I really want to see this now.
Yeah. And then we got a message from Tempsu, and Tempsu says, is this strange news? And Tempsu sends us Shoko Nakagawa gets her butt fractured trying to do a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure pose, but will continue concert tour.
Wait, so the question is it strange
news? Is it strange news?
Yes, because last time I checked, the butt is a muscle and it can't fracture.
Well, unless you fracture the little tailbone of your butt bone.
So then they mean to say tailbone.
That's not what this news article says.
Right, so it's very strange news to me.
No, she fractured her collarbone.
What does this, the article
this,
say?
This article says gets her butt fractured.
The actual article says collarbone.
Yeah, it says, it is absolutely no secret that Japanese singer, actress, and voice actress Shoko Nakagawa is a huge fan of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. The Japanese superstar, however... Got into a bit of an accident, however, the anime... involving the anime as she fractured her collarbone while trying to pose like a JoJo character. That's really weird. Why does it say Frack gets her butt fractured?
I'm very curious now.
Is it her butt or is it her neck?
We don't have a web link. Well, I'm not sure what website that came from, but it could be a satire link. But yes, I would still label that as strange news. Thank you, Tempsu. Thank you so much.
Tempsu!
Tempsu! And I guess that's all we have this week, I believe. If I missed your fan service, I'm very sorry. But you can always yell at us online again and say, hey, you didn't read my fan service, and then send it to us again. Which we will do. And up until Christmas, we will still be reading Christmas demands. So send your hashtag Christmas demands to @YoWickedAnime on Twitter. So finally, we have our shameless plugs. If you guys would like to join in on our conversation, maybe you've seen Mirai, maybe you've seen Wreck-It Ralph, maybe you've seen Spider-Verse, or maybe you haven't seen Spider-Verse. Maybe you're looking forward to Spider-Verse, though, literally coming out tomorrow from this episode's release. You can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can, of course, find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where you can comment, like posts, see our news articles, see anything that we have scheduling. You can also message us at facebook.com/wickedanime. You can also find us at nerdyshow.com. If you're not listening to the podcast right here, right now, you can also listen to the podcast.com. No, to podcast.com. You can also listen to the podcast at things... Like, wherever, pretty much wherever you can find podcasts. You have Podchasers, you have Stitcher, you have Acast, and a whole, those are just some good starters, but I'm sure if you look up Wicked Anime Podcast, you can find those. Hey, you can also find our videos, the Wicked Anime videos, over at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, and of course, you can find us at all the social medias. You can, of course, tweet your hashtag Christmas demands at @YoWickedAnime. You can find us at Tumblr at wickedanime.tumblr.com. You can sometimes find us on Twitch, even though it's a little bit barren at the moment. And wherever else you might like to find Wicked Anime. And of course, if you want to find me, your friendly neighborhood Wicked Anime artist, you can find my art on facebook.com/AFLMart. And you can also find me on Instagram at @AFLM_art. And you can email me at aflmcreative@gmail.com for any commission info, or you can, of course, message me on Facebook and Instagram for any info you want about my art at all. I would love to do some work for you, and I'll see you over there. Evan, what do you got for us?
So, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured in our No Borders, No Race podcast show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter and the J-Pop Video Games and Anime Amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH, and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and facebook.com/LandOfAsh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Ash, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smash Rook. And as of this recording, we are in the midst of doing our top albums of 2018. Unlike previous years, we're actually doing two different lists. We're doing a J-pop list for the top 10 albums, and we're also doing a top 10 world albums, which is everywhere else except for Japan. And I am very happy that Andrew is actually going to be taking part and showing off his picks for top albums of 2018 as well. This is going to be really interesting.
I can't wait. I'm really happy with my list this year.
As am I.
Yeah, so I'm really excited. Yep. And that's all we have for you on this episode.
No, wait. Actually, let us remind our listeners that they can vote for the wikis.
Oh my gosh, that is so important. Yes, everybody should vote for the wikis. In fact, on our Facebook page, on the Nerdy Show page, on the Facebook page, on Twitter, you can find a form to fill out your answers for this year's wikis. You can participate this year. We are actually letting everybody vote for results, because we at Wicked Anime, we're all still casting our votes for our top choices that are the winners, but you have a say as well in voting. So it's a Google Doc that is anywhere you can find Wicked Anime. Just And if you can't find it, we can personally send it to you if you message us anywhere on the internet. So, vote.
Yes,
vote
please for, vote for, because so vote far as of this recording, we have one person who has voted.
So we're hoping to get that number up by the new year and by the wikis. So yes. Make sure you do that, guys. Yes, thank you for that reminder, Evan.
Yep, and for our listeners, hopefully it's not set in stone. We do mention in there we are going to try to actually live stream the wikis this year. So you can actually hear us talking about it right then and there. And even be a part of that conversation as we're recording it. So fingers crossed that we're actually going to be able to do that. Because it will be super, super fun. And you'll be able to see, hopefully, all of us together in the same room talking about our favorite and least favorite anime.
So that is the end of this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. And we thank you so much for joining us and sticking all the way to the end to find all this very important information about Wicked Anime. We very much look forward to having you listen to us on the next episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. So now is the time we sign off the only way we know how.
K-Bye! Oh, Spidey Bells, oh, it's fun and fancy free.
That was weird.
Why am I singing this song? I have a PhD. The person who's directing We Never Learn is a Yoshiaki Iwasaki. Now, Yoshiaki Iwasaki, I know because he directed Love Hina and season 2 of Hayate the Combat Butler, two of my absolute favorite comedies ever made.
Nice. I am looking forward to the doujin adaption of it.
Mm. I'm pretty sure you could probably find some already.
There are.
Send me the link later, okay?
Yeah. Cut from the
show. You show me yours, I'll show you mine.
That's awful.
Oh, Evan.
That's awful.
But so true.
That's awful. Cut from the show. Deleted.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.